Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning. Welcome to the Dr. Cappuccino Show. We have a show for you, and I know you're going to want to find out how to get out of hell and stay out, part two. People are saying no matter what I do, things are crazy, things are just, oh, my God, I'm going from bad to worse every day. Oh, my God. It is really crazy out here, but I welcome you. It's raining here in so-called sunny Los Angeles, and we have some good information for you. And I'm saying that because so many people say they are just feeling terrible. No matter what they do, nothing works. No matter what they say, nothing seems to make a difference, and they're upset about that. Some have said, you know, I've given up on my life. No matter what I do or seem to say, hey, nothing is working in my life. I pray, I'm dreaming big dreams, and I'm hoping in the world for what it is, but guess what? Nothing seems to work. Some are saying, will I ever have all I need? Will I ever reach my goals? Now, whatever those goals are. They're saying, oh, my God. Well, I have a chance in this world. I'm a winner. I'm not a failure. I'm a winner. I'm not a loser. Will the world make room for me? You know, I'm not sure what to do. I have read all these self-help books. I've looked at TV, seen all these rich folk and these people that are gorgeous and beautiful, and then I'm not looking all that great. I'm not feeling all that great most of the time. I'm sad most of the day. What in the hell is going on? So we're going to talk about how to get out of the hell. Self-made, made by others, made by circumstances, made by situations, whatever it takes. We're going to talk about getting out of hell. But before we get out of hell, how did we get into hell? Because before a person knows how to get out of a bad situation or circumstances, they've got to know, oh, my goodness, how did I get in this mess in the first time? How did I walk into hell with both eyes shut? What happened? How did I become so entrenched in my day-to-day living, things going in my life, that I end up in a bad, bad place? A place that I don't think I can get out of. Well, let's kind of take it back. My dad said, whenever you're in a bad fix, go back to the train station and get on the train. Get back on where you got on. So we're going to start naming and numbering. Most of the time, when people get into a bad circumstance, it is because of perhaps not really looking into the circumstances for what it is. Like if you go to the grocery store, before you go in, you're going to have a list. Most of us that are smart. You're going to have your checkbook. You're going to have your debit card. You're going to have your credit card. You're going to have some cash in your purse or your pocket. You have a pretty good idea of what you're going in there for. Now, you might get three times as much, but you do have something. Some kind of a bite on a piece of paper in your heart or your mind. I'm going in, I'm going to make lasagna, so I'm going to get everything for lasagna. So a person normally has some kind of a plan, but when we find ourselves mixed up, messed up, half crazy, all the way dazed, it is because we haven't been paying attention to what's going on around us. I know before I go in the bank, I'm not going to flash to it $2,000, $3,000, $4,000. You know, in my hands, you know, walking, I get it at my car, walking in the bank. I'm going to have all my stuff safe, sound, and secure. When I get it to the teller, then I start pulling things out. Most of the time, you know, it's why you're standing there in the line, you're maybe like the second one from the teller. So if we find ourselves in a self-made hell, guess what? That actually means some way and somehow we, hey, did not look at the circumstances with what we're in. So step number one, getting out of hell, before you get into hell, you got to sit and you got to meditate on who's in my life right now that might not be a good person. What kind of environment am I living in that might not be a good environment and that may not be an environment that's that's conducive to me meeting my goals. When you say, oh my God, I think I married the wrong person, then that's a biggie right there. That will put you in a hell with no bottom. Marrying, getting involved with a mate, a spouse, or whatever they call them, significant others, and you really didn't watch and check that person. Some people are now saying, you know, I'm going to wait a year. I'm going to watch him a year. I'm going to take him around children, see how he reacts around kids. I'm going to take him around the elderly, see how he respects them, whether he knows them or not. I'm going to take him around my friends, see how he reacts around my friends and not his. So there's a lot more to that particular story. But that, oh, my God, that is a big hell. So just on those three things alone, we've got to watch our goal. If I want to be a pilot, I'm going to hang out with pilots. I'm not going to hang out with drunkards, whoremongers, butchers. I'm going to hang out with pilots. If I want to be a dancer, I'm not going to hang out with people with no legs. I might want to entertain them later on down the road, but I'm going to hang out with people that are dancers, people that are known in the community for being just a great dancer, people that are known for helping others that want to get in that career. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to make sure, come hell or high water, that I'm going to be in the right environment, because that's a self-made hell there. Stalking, walking, talking to people that have nothing to do with your goals. They're not driving down the same street you are. They are not taking into account what the future may hold for their life like you are and want to do. So we have to watch our environment and the people that we are around that will drag us in the hell. They're already in the hole. But because you're out there walking, practicing, praising your creator, they don't like that. So that is one way you can get out of hell and stay out. Get away from people that are already in hell. How do I know they're in hell? Look at their lives. Look at what they're doing in this self-made hell. Maybe they can't keep a job. Maybe they've been in and out of jail. There's nothing wrong with going to jail, you know, if you want to pay for your crime. Nothing wrong with that. Thank God you're an opportunity to redeem yourself there. But going around into the world of these people that are not following you and are not encouraging you and are not helping you become all you can be, my goodness, that is not the way. So right now, we're going to move on to another area. And this is an area of not knowing who you are. People go around, yeah, I'm black and I'm proud and so forth. Okay, well, if you're proud, you really should be living a proud life. That shouldn't be as they are, saying there's killings over here and there's maimings over there and there's knifings over there. So to take this thing further, the main reason why you want to get out of hell is because you aren't going to meet any goals at all that you have in life. You're going to probably live a very short life. You're probably not going to have the kind of friends that you dream of having, those that will support you, come hell or high water, those that you can call in the midnight hour and say, oh, I'm hungry, I'm sick, I need a ride to the hospital. Oh, you know what, my husband has left me and I have no money, I have nothing to eat, I have four kids here. You want that kind of a life attempting to get you out of hell, people that you can depend on and call on when you have a need. That's how you're going to get out of the hell that you're already in. Whether you make the hell for yourself or not, a self-made hell is the same as any other kind of hell. And with that being said, we have Colonel William Harrison again with us today. And he and I was talking about how a person can get out of hell. Your church might be your hell. Your home might be your hell. Your job might be your hell. Your home, anything that keeps you from following your dreams and your goals and stopping you from calling on a creator, because, you know, Scripture says, he that calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I know I need to be saved out of hell when I may. And I know most of you also want to get out of hell any way you can. So with Colonel Harris on the line, Colonel, we have been talking. Thank you so much for coming back on the show. We've been talking for the last few minutes about how people, how children, how the elderly can get out of hell. And we told them, how do I know I'm in hell? Number one, when things aren't going right, you're in hell. Number two, when they can't seem to get no help or nothing, you're in hell. When you can't seem to know your way out of whatever situation you're in and it's not good for you, you're in hell. When you say to yourself, you know what, I'm going to be the worst person that I can be, I don't give a care, you're in hell. Colonel, what are some of the ways that you might know of that a person can get out of hell, number one, and stay out of hell, self-made hell?
Yes, good morning, Dr. Captain, and listening audience. Apologize for joining late, just finished a meeting, but try to assist with the subject matter and how to get out of hell. One of the things I recommend is that we have to change our association. A lot of times there are people that we associate with that are in hell, and they will keep us in hell. In other words, their life are in shambles, their life in the disarray, and there's constant trouble or problems going on with them, a lot of negativity continuously. It's best to sort of remove yourself from that person, pray for them, pray that their situation get better. But that's one thing I recommend. The other is, I believe we have to examine ourselves. If I'm in hell, I'm in a pit, why am I in this pit? If it's something that I'm doing that caused me not only to get in the pit, but stay in the pit. See, it's one thing to get in the pit, this hell pit, but it's another to get out. When you get in, yes, another to get out. So you, don't give up when you fall into the pit, because you can get out of the pit, and you just have to find a way to get out of the pit. Rethink your situation. What caused you to get in the situation that you're in? And then you can think of a way to get out. But you got to exercise good logical thoughts, positive thoughts, and you got to reach out to people who are logical and who are positive and have good life experience and that can encourage you and uplift you and give you good concrete advice as to how you can get out of certain situations that you're in. We're not made to self-destruct. We're made to prosper. And so my understanding that the head of the universe want us to prosper, succeed in life. And so we're going to have trials and tribulation, but we don't have to perish in the pit or in hell.
That sounds very good, because we were just discussing that. But, you know, a lot of people are saying, you know, I like what I hear, I like what you guys are saying, but I'm living in a home where everyone is negative. Everything I try to say that's good, they shoot me down. Every time I mention, you know, I got this award or I got this kind of event going on or I got these kind of things going on that are good, family members, the claim is made. You know, they don't want to hear it. They don't want to encourage. They don't want to support it. And people say, you know what, I feel so awful. I hate going home, but I love getting out of it. Everybody in the home is negative. They're not positive. They're continuing to try to tear me down no matter what I do. They're going throughout the community lying on me. I mean, they just won't give me a break. From sunup to sundown, it's my family. I feel like I'm living in hell with my family. Colonel, oh, my goodness. How can we help these people?
What I found, Doc, positive attracts, negative people repel. I found in past years when I've had these kind of challenges and I've had my hardship times and my troubling times, I looked at what caused me to get in there, but the people that I was associating with, and I found they were all messed up, jacked up, and had problems, and I had to solve my own problems, so I separated myself from them, and you got to separate yourself, and when you withdraw from people, it gives you an opportunity to focus on yourself. We have to get self straight first and do a self-examination from within, and that's what I did, and that helped me to find my shortcomings, my weaknesses, my faults, and I strengthened myself by changing those shortcomings that I had, and that helped me to come out of the pit. So you got to have introspection, it's called self-examination of oneself, and that's how I went about it. So I'll pause, Doc.
Yeah, so you went about your family issues and living with people that were negative by going within. What if you have a person that has, says, you know, I've done all of that. I look within. I don't see anything. I'm minding my own business. I'm just going in and out. I'm getting in my bed. I'm eating. I'm doing my chores. I'm not bothering anybody. So what can you say to those people that are saying, I've already done all that. I've done some self-introspection, but it's them, it's them, it's them. That's not always them. But if a person is saying, I mind my own business, I go to my room, I do my work, I rest, I'm not running up and down the hallways bothering people, what advice can you give to the listener?
Well, Doc, their organizations, there I am encouraging and strongly suggest that they seek outside organizations. There are organizations that give support groups. We have Alcoholic Anonymous, and we have the NARC support groups. And those groups are designed not that one may have an alcohol habit or a drug habit, as they do, but seek those organizations. But the point I'm making, if we want to tap into some outside organization, outside source, and outside people that can help strengthen us and help give us ways and direction, instruction how to get out of the pit. There are outside organizations that assist with these kinds of problems that we have and these kinds of trials and tribulations.
Okay, I'm going to ask that question again. A person's living in a home. He's not thinking about an outside organization because an outside organization cannot come into a home and tell anybody in that home what to do. So I'm talking in reference to someone that might be living in a home where people are always at their throat. They are not bothering them. They're trying to live a good life, a wholesome life, but they're in that particular home. They're living there, and they're living amongst people that are non-supporters, don't care anything about them, yet they're there because of various circumstances. How can we encourage them if they, and that's a hell, I can tell you right now, living amongst relatives, siblings that fight most of the time, lie on you most of the time, don't care anything about you all of the time. Not an outside organization at that point is going to be able to help. That person is living there. He's trying to sleep there. He's trying to eat there. What advice can we give someone in that particular circumstance? Now, some might say, oh, tell them to move, come to get out. That might not be so easy. So what can we tell people that are living in a home or house with a mate that's not treating them right and that's causing a self-made hell, a hell definitely so, or living with family members that just continue to pick at them, nick at them, and not really support what their dreams are? What encouragement can we give that person?
And, Doc, the obvious thing, as you just said, is to get out or separate themselves, relocate. But if they're unable to do that and they're not in a position financially to remove themselves from that home, that atmosphere and that environment, then I would suggest and recommend that person begin to pray. Now, you can pray for guidance, you can pray for instructions, you can pray for deliverance. Prayer will give you insight into ways that you don't think about, and you'll get some kind of revelation as to what you can do to change your situation and your circumstances, rather than continue to dwell in self-pity and that negative environment. I would suggest prayer.
Mm-hmm. You said just prayer, but in the meantime, while you said, oh, God, my Father, hallelujah, in the name of Jesus, yeah. After they do that and get up off their knees, they're going to find themselves in that situation. So hopefully they won't end up killed or clubbed over the head while they're waiting for prayer to kick in. What else can we offer them?
Doc, I'm going to be honest with you, that's a very difficult, tough situation. Because my experiences and the counseling I give, if they're in a situation like that, people have to find a way to separate, find a way to remove themselves, to keep that situation from drowning them. But if they stay in it, they got to have a strong inner resolve that they don't let that negativity, whoever's causing it in that house, get within their inner spirit. They got to have self-constraint, and they got to have good confidence that they're not going to let that break them down and tear them down until such time that they can do better and get out. But meanwhile, they just got to be a strong-willed person to endure and to tolerate it, and as soon as they're in a position to get out, to get out.
Yeah, you know what? That sounds good, but I'm here to tell you, studies and stats show that the majority of suicide victims have a problem with home. Those that commit suicide have a problem with people inside of their home. Most of them have a problem with siblings inside their home. So, my goodness, before they go that route, they're adapted to hurt themselves or either kill themselves. I don't know where. Now, let me segue to something. You know, there's a lot of information in the news about churches and the government now is looking at all the billions they have, and they're talking confiscation. I mean, it's going to get crazy. But right now, you know, most people, especially people like you and I, you know, we're believers, and we know that there's no other power stronger than the power of God and prayer. Okay, now. But that leads me to this question. It would appear to me that since this nation, and I don't believe this, you know, this is a Christian nation, it should be by all means and accounts according to Scripture, but there's so much interfaith, so many of the religious practices going on, new religions popping up almost daily with names, you know, the average person can't even pronounce. It appears to me that if people in America and beyond is having issues, isn't that what the church is for? Shouldn't they be able to turn to a trusted advisor in the church, a deacon, maybe even the pastor himself? Because we know God left them in charge of the human personality on earth. The government is made to rule through politics, but the church was set up by God and, of course, by his son to, you know, look after others, you know, go, therefore, teaching them, and preaching to them and making attempts to deliver them, baptizing them, all that was the last charge. So what can we say about the churches that is keeping people from coming to them for this kind of help? And I'm going to call it this kind. It borders line to me on social mental health. If a person is sitting and he's feeling he's in hell, well, of course he's not in the literal brain hell. That means he's so confused emotionally and mentally and physically that he doesn't know what to do. Is there any discussion we can have for a couple of minutes on why the church now is not that hub anymore? It used to be that. You needed black folks. You needed any news. You had to go to church on Sunday. You couldn't read or write. You had to go to church on Sunday to hear what was going on. You was hungry. Your kids need shoes and clothes. You had to go to church because, hey, that's where it was all. That's where it was all happening. Yeah. But now we don't see that. Many are blaming them. That's why they, oh, my God, I've heard some stuff this week that almost made me cry. People are blaming the churches, and they're going online, naming names, talking about how wicked and evil and say this, say this, say that. What has happened that people that feel that they're in hell, and you know that's a religious connotation, well, I'm going to hell, that only stems from some kind of a spiritual or religious teaching. What's happened that people that are in hell can feel that they can go to the place that talks about hell and get some help?
The church, Doc, is the most unpopular, unfortunately, the most unpopular social organization there is. There was a time when it was the anchor. It was the hub, and it was the root of any community, the community-based church or churches. The church has been taking on a different or negative stereotype because of some negativity that has happened to some of the pastors that have pastored some of these churches. So there's a negative connotation that the church does not work. The church still works, but the problem is the head of the church got to be right. If the head is right, then the church that head is representing or pastoring it still works. If the head is not right, the way you kill a snake, you have to cut off the head. If you don't kill the snake, then you're going to have a problem. The snake body is still alive. So the church is taking on a negative connotation because of some negative publicity, national publicity, that some of the pastors have received, past pastors. But eventually, those pastors self-destruct. They no longer will be able to carry on those churches. And then the church as a body, the church as an entity, the church as an organization, suffers from that kind of thing. But the concept of the church and the foundation of the church and the principles of the church still works as an entity and an organization. One just got to seek and find the right church that has the right pastor, that's a God-fearing person, that's willing to help people that are shut in and hell and pit, need to be saved, and all those kinds of things. There's still churches that will do that, but the negativity right now is overriding the good that the church still can do. Yeah, did you hear my response?
Yes, you know what? Your phone cut out, but you know what? If I didn't hear all of you, I heard enough to say that you're right on all those points. So many of the pastors have just decided, you know, it's just too much for me. You know, we're not making no money here, no way. We don't have enough money there to do what we need to do. So they have a tendency to start battering the sheep. And the sheep's scared, mad, you know. They don't know what to do. They don't even know the sheep anymore. So I can truly understand that. But with some of the people that are proclaiming, I'm in hell. And I've heard something today on this show that is going to help me get out of hell. But let me segue here now. Guess what? The world is in hell. I'm going to take it to another level. I'm going to get off of the individual. The world is in hell. Colonel Harrison, we talk all through the week on this. People are afraid. They don't know anything to contribute to the world woes. They're saying the world is going to self-destruct. The president is no good. I don't know what I'm going to do in the world. I don't want to do anything at all. Let's talk about the hell our world is in. Do you think there's any hope for the nations now with so much raging hatred? And a death by design going on, by assassinations all throughout, earthquakes, divers of everything, rumors of war. This world is in hell. What do you think is the problem there? We got 3 minutes.
Here's the solution, and most people are not willing to embrace the solution. The real solution is to turn to the creator of the universe. Some call whatever the creator, Allah, Yahweh, God, whatever. Initially, my understanding, my research, my study, my life experience show ultimately there's a creator. We're out of balance with the creator who has created everything. Thus, we are like a train on a rail track that's about to derail. We must return to those basic moral principles that were instilled when things were formed from the very beginning, when the earth was formed. So we've gotten away from those things, so we have the chaos, and we have the instability, and we have crime, and we have violence, and we have drugs, and we have no confidence, and we have fear. We got to return to those, to the basic principles of the creator and the teachings of the creator that will turn this thing around. Other than that, the world will continue to be on a decline.
Okay, well, you know what I think? I think we have 90 seconds to go. I think we need to have Get Out of Hell Part 3 here so that we can discuss that nation is in hell, its people is in hell. There's just no doubt about it. So let's explore next Saturday on the Dr. Cupertino Show how to get out of hell and stay out Part 3. But we're going to be moving from an individual level basis on to what's going on in the world. We love you, Colonel Harrison. Thank you so much for your advice. And then make sure you have your book handy, too, next week, because we're going to be involved in some of the chapters there. Thank you so much. Hallelujah, you guys. We'll be seeing you next week, same time, same place from your sofa. to the No Nonsense Show of the Dr. Cappuccino Show. No frills, just news you can use. Have a great weekend. Thank you for joining.